Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's your host with the most, Pastor Bruce E. Rivers, coming to you live from the Big Valley in Cali. I'm on location today, everybody. I'm not at home. I'm out actually rolling, but I stopped at a place that we grew up in, a place called, if you know it, on 152, called Casa de Fruta. That's the house of fruit, amen? And this little place, growing up, we stopped as we traveled back and forth, going towards where I live in Los Banos from Monterey. So I had to stop here and just get a spot, man, in a nice shady spot. And I hope people don't make a whole lot of noise out here. If they do, I'll just open the door and tell them to be quiet. Amen. I had a truck just drove with a bunch of guys come up, so hopefully they'll be a blessing to me. And all you hear is doors slamming. Listen, today is a great day. I've got a great show today. Did you know this is the second season of The Men at the Well? And our topic this second part is raising boys to men. I want to give you a little quick background before I introduce my guest, who I am so thrilled,
so proud and so honored to have here on the show. But I want to give you a little piece of background on the basis of the name. Amen. If you read your Bibles, or if we said in church, if you open your Bibles to John chapter 4, there's a story about a woman that was at the well. Well, you know the story. Jesus told her everything, and she went running into the city. Matter of fact, let me start at verse 28 and said, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all the things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Verse 30 said, "Then they went out of the city and came unto him." How many people know men got to come to the well also? Praise God. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. I've got on the show today a brother, man, I'm talking about from the 40 years ago or more, we listened to this music. I remember the Funk Festival at the L.A. Coliseum. Oh, my goodness. And you remember the Isley Brothers and all them folk and Chaka Khan and Parliament Funkadelic and all that. I know he remembers that show. What a show. But in the middle of that thing, they went around. They went to Isley Jasper Isley. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to invite you to clap your hands, say amen. I've got Brother Chris Isley, one of my dear friends, and I'll tell you about how we became dear friends. Amen. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Chris Jasper. Man, listen, man. I'm so honored, man. You know, it's amazing. The people that produce this show, that you know, I've done a few shows, and it's amazing. They get to, and they tell me who they want to bring. I said, I know him.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, man. Great to be on the show with you.
Thank you, kid. Go ahead and tell us a little something about you, man. I'm going to let you talk. I don't got a whole lot. I'm on location today, sitting under a shade tree in the Central Valley of Cali. So go ahead and talk to me, man. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, you started it off. You know, I was with the Isley Brothers for a long time. I wrote a lot of that music and, you know, produced it and everything. And, you know, we had a lot of success together back there in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, now I'm doing my own thing. I have my own record label. I have had it for a long time now. And I've released like 14 solo albums on my Gold City Records label. So I've been doing my own music for a while, and, you know, I'm happy with a lot of the success of the music. And, you know, I'm working on new music right now.
Amen. I met Chris personally, you know, we're part of a contingent of a conservative men and women of God that believe in the biblical worldview of faith, freedom, and personal responsibility. And Chris was our keynote speaker at one of the pastor conferences I go to every year. Matter of fact, I just came back this week, at the end of the week from there, with Star Parker and the Cure Clergy Network. And Chris, what was it, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, Chris, you were our keynote?
Yeah, I think maybe 3 years, maybe 3 years ago, yeah.
And he brought it, him and his lovely wife, amen, and he blessed us tremendously. And, you know, so you understand this show, a lot of the people I've already interviewed, man, their lives have been turned over to God. And that's what it's all about. It's like, yeah, we did what we did. I know back in that baby making music day, you know, that's what we laughingly call about it. But, man, I mean, a lot of children were born with between the sheets, amen, in that time frame, amen. I mean, you got to keep it real. You know, this is a real show with real information and real history. But Chris, you know, the Isleys now, you're related, right? Aren't you guys family?
Well, Rudolph Isley, which is one of the older brothers, married my sister a long time ago when we were still living in Cincinnati. And so that's the relationship between, you know, me and Rudolph.
Yeah, big Rudy. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah, and like you heard me say something about the Funk Festival. I mean, that was like
we traveled
from Monterey in my blue van, about 12 of us, amen, to the Oakland Coliseum for that great show, one of the greatest shows of all time as far as I'm concerned. And you guys were there along with everybody else. And, you know, those are great memories. We weren't, of course, I tell it right, we weren't living all right, but we were showing up living, amen?
What we thought. Yes, I remember that, playing the forum, yeah.
Yeah, man. We thought we were somebody, man. But to God be the glory now that we know who we are in Him. So, Chris, I'm gonna run through a couple of questions. We got an hour here, and I don't have all my notes. As I said, I'm on location, as they mm-hmm. say. And I got a lot of my stuff, amen. And we heard your opening song, "That's What Love Will Do." That's off the new album, right?
Yeah, that's off my new album called "Share With Me," and that particular version was a remix that was done by a good friend of mine in England, Ernest McComb, and it reached number one on the charts there, and it reached number one on the indie soul charts here, it did really really well for me.
Well, you got that lick, man. You know. Like I say, God stirs up the gift within. Let me quickly say, this show is brought to you following a Tribe Family Channel, www.blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. And we are a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. Amen. So, Chris, let me jump into some of these questions for our listeners and our guests. And I hope I got friends in Seaside, California, where I grew up, and all across the country. That know Pastor Bruce, amen. So, Chris, you know, I told you, you heard me say the topic is raising boys to men, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, I guess if we got everybody. Here's the first question: when did you become a man, my brother?
Wow, it was a process, you know. but I think when I realized that. I had to, you know, do things for myself, you know what I mean? And that was after, I think that was sometimes after I graduated high school. And because I left Cincinnati, I was raised in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I left Cincinnati to go to Juilliard, the Juilliard School of Music. And I spent, you know, a year studying composition there. And the more I learned, the more I knew I had to be self, you know, sufficient and to kind of, you know, do things and be responsible for everything I did, you know. And I think that was the beginning. I think I was about 18 years old, but I was mature, you know. I was a mature 18, you know, and I realized that, you know, I had to get my life together and to be responsible for my actions, you know, to look for the future, to build a future for myself. And I think that's, you know, that's kind of when I realized, you know, I gotta get my thing together and be a good person too, you know, not to get involved in anything shady, you know, and to live a good life, you know.
You know, it's amazing, you know, when you think about the entertainment industry back in those days and times, you know, I too myself, I was on the road with Natalie Cole as her sound engineer for a while and got to travel with her and all the stuff we went through, what I call now the experiences that we had that now, because we're still alive by God's grace and mercy, we can share and stop some of these young folks from going into the pitfalls, you know, either whether you fell in them or jumped over them or God took you through them, whatever the reason or the situation, you're blessed to be able to tell it. And here's the next question. It says, who displayed what being a real man is or was in your life? Who gave you that first foundation? You know?
Wow. I guess it was, you know, a combination of things, because my father died when I was young. You know, I was like a year and a half when he passed away. So I had, you know, different people in my life. And the first people I looked to were, you know, my big brothers. You know, I have three older brothers.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, as men, you know, role models, you know. My mother was always there, you know, and she, you know, gave me, you know, great direction, you know, as far as, you know, what to do and how to treat people, you know, manners and all that stuff, you know. But I guess my first role models as men were my big brothers and my oldest brother, Jim, you know. because he was a lot older than me, you know.
Right.
And I guess I looked up to him first, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now were you the baby?
Yes, I'm the youngest. I'm the youngest of seven. Yeah.
Okay. And what year were you born? So I get to get my thing, because, you know, I grew up with you, so I guess, you know,
I'm 51.
Okay, yeah. So you got me by 4 years. Amen. Praise
mm-hmm.
God. So we're in the same crew.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So that's beautiful. So you got him, and as time went on, I'm sure others came in your life. You know, you part of that thing, you know, we talk about now at our summits. We talk about where back then 24% of children might have grew up in a single mother home, is where now that number is 79%.
Yeah, well, you know, my mother did remarry, and, you know, I did have a stepfather, you know.
Okay.
So, we had two parents in the house, you know.
Okay, good.
And
mm-hmm.
everything was, you know, and we talk about this a lot, too. You know, I talked to my wife about it, you know, how things were different then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
all the friends I knew, you know, had two parents in the house, you know.
Yeah.
And only, you know, there was just a couple exceptions, you know, to that.
Right.
But the majority of families, you know, had two parents.
Yeah. You know, and I don't want nobody to think this is going on a political vein. This is moral. These are moral issues, biblical issues.
Right,
like
right.
Faith, freedom, and personal responsibility that we, mm-hmm. we deal with. I had two parents, and I later found out I was adopted. So, amen. So, mm-hmm. to God be the glory for that. But my parents were together 51 years until they both passed. Amen.
Wow.
So
that's great.
I'm grateful for that. Grateful. How do you teach others your life lessons? What are you doing? I know your music, but how do you teach them?
Well, first I try to be an example, you know, because I believe it's important to walk the walk, you know, rather than just talk the talk. Is you know, because I think the best example you can be is yourself. You know, what does a person see when they see you? You know, when they, you know, like if they come over and they visit you or something, or they see you somewhere, what do they see? You know, and I'm always aware of that. And I always told my kids, you know, I want to be a good example. And I try to give them that good example. You know what I mean? So it starts there. You know, how you are, you know, it's not, I hear a lot of people say things and a lot of nice expressions people have, you know, and then when you see their life, it's totally different than what they just said, you know, so I think that's important. Live the life that you preach about. Live it.
Mm.
Because that's what we're supposed to get from the Bible. It's not only,
wow.
you know, to get good messages and to preach good messages. No, it's to live the gospel. It's to live it, you know, to be an example to others. Like I said, let your light so shine to others. When they
yes,
see
yes.
you, they should see an example of a good Christian, you know.
Mm.
You know,
so
and
a strong
strong man, you know what I mean? A man who's responsible, a man who takes care of his family, you know.
Mm.
That's what they should see.
Mm. Sounds like a content of character issue, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It ain't about the color of your skin, but the content of your character on how, and like I say, people, and I know since I met you, I've seen nothing but character. Amen. And, you know, you come a long way and how you give God the glory through your music and with your music. And, you know, I say, I met your lovely wife, you know, at the summit, and man, you know, you want to honor somebody, walk like after you recognize somebody that, like I say, teaching you life lessons, walk like them, amen? So
mm-hmm.
praise God.
Yes.
What does, in your words, what do you think the brotherhood, and I'm talking about, and I ain't talking about the brotherhood, you know, I'm talking about the brotherhood and the body of Christ. That's my
mm-hmm.
that's where I'm at. Less
mm-hmm.
most in today's times. Give me a bullet point or two on that.
Well, I think a lot of people lack what the truth of the gospel is. You know what?
Mm.
What because I think a lot of people, they do attend services every week, you know, and they're very mm-hmm. devout in that way. But sometimes the meaning of things in the Bible, you know, like sometimes gets lost, you know, mm-hmm. and it's been lost for centuries. And it's because of what happened a long time ago, you know, mm-hmm. starting from the original Christ, the teachings of Christ and his disciples, and then mm-hmm. what happened from that point forward. There's mm-hmm. been a lot of deception and things added that have nothing to do with Christ.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, go ahead and preach.
And if you don't know that history, sometimes you know, the truth that you read in the Bible gets confused. A lot of people are confused. And that's what I find. You know, there's a lot of confusion. And when you have confusion, it stunts your growth, you know, as a Christian. It stunts your spiritual growth. When you're not grounded in that original truth that was, you know, preached, you know, from Christ. And that's I think that's the biggest thing I see. Because that's why we have so many denominations.
there you go.
You know, is there's a lot of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to say, okay, if there's like 1,000 denominations, they all can't be right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know, that's impossible. Because how do we know that? Because it says God is not the author of confusion.
Hello, preach, man. Preach.
You know, God is not the author of confusion. So somebody has to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and a lot of people, a lot of the, you know, the doctrines of denominations are not quite right. They're right in some ways, but in a lot of ways they're not, because of the division and confusion that has been preached over the centuries. You know, so you know we have to sometimes examine. Okay, well, why? You know, people don't ask questions. You know, I find that again too. They don't question what they hear. Sometimes they'll just go by what somebody said.
Mm.
Oh, well, okay. Did anybody ever question why we have the names of the days of the week?
Uh-oh, come on.
Anybody ever ask a question? No.
Mm-hmm.
Do they ask why are the months' names what they are?
Mm.
You know, why do we have those names for the months? Why? Because they're not God's names. The Bible gives the months a different name.
Well, you know, you're preaching. You know that.
So why do we carry those things? Why do we carry? Why do we have certain observances? Where did they come from? You see what I mean? And when you answer those questions, you'll see how far away from the original gospel we have gone. And it's not to cast blame on anyone. It's just to show the truth. Sometimes the truth is different from what we believe the truth is. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm saying. People need to say, they need to ask questions and say, well, what is the origin of that? What is the origin of, say, today, Tuesday? Where did that name come from?
Right.
You see what I mean?
And
will set you on the path to truth. You see? Uh-huh. Because is his history, you know, it's in the history. If you just, sometimes you can just Google it, bam, the organ of Tuesday, or just Google it, you'll find out. Take every day of the week and Google the origin of that name. And then you'll see, you know, you'll say, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I wasn't aware that, you know, these were the names of, you know, Roman and Greek gods. You know, which are prohibited by scripture.
You know you're dipping now. You know you're dipping. You know you're dipping. Go ahead, dip then.
God told Israel that they weren't even to utter the name of other gods. Okay?
Man.
And that whatever God said to Israel, he said to us, because we were grafted in by the adoption. Okay? Mm-hmm. So whatever went for Israel goes for us as the Gentiles.
Now, you know you're preaching, man. And I know some people would say, oh, man, that's this and that's that. But I can relate. The Bible tells us to test the spirit by the spirit to see if it's of God. And,
exactly.
And I can totally agree. I know some people might say, oh, man, he don't know what he's talking about. They tell me all the time. I don't know what I'm talking about. So I just, I'm comfortable. I do me. I tell them you do you, and we don't have to deal with it. But
prove all things is what Scripture says. Prove all things. Just because somebody said something, okay, they said something. All right, prove it.
Mm-mm-mm.
You see, that's what a Christian's responsibility is, to prove it. You know, if it's a minister or whoever, it's a teacher, whoever says something to you, okay, fine. All right, okay, I heard you. All right, now let me prove it by the Scripture. Let me go to the Bible and prove what you just said. You see?
Chris, you know, you just answered the next question, and you can keep going on it, but I want everybody to know what my next question was. What measures would help better shape the values of today's men in this current climate? And you just answered, prove it.
Yes.
I'm with you, man. Go ahead. Keep on going on that, man.
There's no better way than the things that God has given us in the Scripture. No better way to live. I mean, we are His creation, and He knows what's best for us. You know, God knows what's best for us, even if we don't. As a matter of fact, we don't know what's best for us, because the Scripture says that too. Man does not know his way. Man does not know the way to peace. That's what the Scripture says. So, but God does, and He gave it to us in His commandments and in His statutes and His judgments. So if we follow what God said for us, you know, that is the way to peace. You see what I mean? Because God gave it to us. But if we reject it, if we reject what He says, then, no, we won't find it, because we don't know on our own the way to peace.
Mm.
You see? But see, the arrogance of people will say, oh, well, no, I can figure out a way. No, I'm smart enough to do, you know, I have X amount of degrees, and, you know, I can figure it out without the Bible. No, you can't.
Yes.
Not according to the Scriptures, you can't. And it's proven, and it's been proven since man has been on the earth.
Oh, my goodness.
That he doesn't know the way to peace. I mean, you know.
If you just tuned in, you're on the right channel. This is the Men at the Well, and we're at the well. Amen. We're at the well, and the Holy Spirit is pouring out through Brother Chris Jasper. Amen. And I'm enjoying it. So go ahead. Keep on going. I just had to say that.
No, I'm just saying, you know, we do not know the way to peace. And that's the thing that we have to humble ourselves and understand. See, if you're arrogant, you will never come to that understanding.
Yes,
but
sir.
If you say, listen, God knows better than I do. That's what you to say. That's what a humble person says. That God knows better than I do. So if he says this is the way to live, it must be the best way. Because he created us, and he understands us. You know, Jesus Christ, what did he say about Christ when he came? He said, you know, he was tempted in all manner. You know, yet without sin. For he knows our infirmities. You see what I mean? So he knows better. He knows what's best for us. He even came and lived among us. So who better to follow than Christ?
The perfect example, right.
You see? So he is our example. We should try to walk in his footsteps, you know? And that's the journey or the quest of a Christian, is to walk in his steps, not to walk in our own, not to you know, preach his name and then walk in your own footsteps.
Right.
No, that's not the commission. The commission is to lose yourself, to humble yourself, and to walk in his steps. That's the commission that every Christian is given. And, you know, we are judged accordingly, how well we have done.
Wow.
In that quest. But that's the mission, that's the journey, the Christian journey. You know, he who endures until the end, the same shall be saved. You have to take that walk.
Jeremiah 29:11 is tantamount. It says, I know the plans I have for you. Amen. Plans for a future, for the good, not evil. Plans for a future and hope. And I mean, whose hand, when he commended himself into thy hands, I commend by the Spirit. Whose hands do you want to be in? Well, as
right.
a Christian, we commit ourselves, to God's hands, and we walk therein. And,
right.
you know, and I know this stuff. You know, we've been drawn away by things in our lives. I know, look, I know being on the road, when you guys are on the road, it was a crazy time. A lot of stuff was going on. I mean, I lived it in the 80s when I hooked up with Natalie and did some of the shows and some of the traveling.
Mm-hmm.
It was what I thought was a whole lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. At times, and I found myself, I laugh now, and I thank God I've confessed and repented to know,
mm-hmm.
You know, where the Lord has brought me from and
yeah.
brought you and all of us. I've had great interviews with some of the other greats, you know, little Anthony, I called him Pastor Anthony. He was spitting so much, man. He's like you are to now. He was killing me, man. And Bubba Knight, and Macklemore, Sonny Turner, a lot of these guys, greats. I had just my first show of the season, Stan Alston. I'll be coming up. Marshall Thompson will be in my next show.
Mm-hmm.
Last Man Standing, Stylights. Then you go to, after that, then Gerald Austin with the Manhattans. And so I'm just blessed to be dealing with all these men that have found a conversion experience with the Lord, and their lives have changed for the better. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
that's what I know. Amen. I know it, that's all you're saying. Amen. And now here, let me go here. What message do you have, Chris Jasper, for your older or younger self, based on who you are today? What could you tell the next Chris Jasper, eh, man?
A younger Chris Jasper?
Yeah, younger one. Yeah.
Yeah.
We already old, so we can.
Study. Well, yeah, I would. You know, I mean, you know, stay close to God, number one, and study. You know. A lot of people, especially in entertainment, that I've found out, I've experienced, that some of them, you know, they embrace their music, you know, and they're into the music, and that's beautiful, you know what I mean? Because that's what they do. They create music, or they either sing or play an instrument. But don't stop learning. Don't stop mm. learning other things too, especially business,
mm.
you know, mm. because if you're in entertainment, business will take over at some point if you're successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll start to take over your time. You know,
mm.
you'll spend a lot of time doing business things. You know, whether it's, you know, filing your tax returns, or whether it's, you know, dealing with contracts, or
mm-hmm.
you know, contracting to do a date. You know. Those logistics that go with that. So it's good to keep learning more about business. And what I did, I went back and got my degree in law. You know, I have a Juris Doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it helps you to see the total, you know, aspect of things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And avoid pitfalls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say keep learning. You know, I wrote a song called Superbad a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I started to see, because I started to see a lot of young people, some of them were dropping out of high school, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I said, look, somebody has to say something about this, you know.
Yeah,
and so I wrote the song Superbad, and what it's about is you know, being number one in school, you know, learning. That's what makes you super bad. It's how much you know, you know.
Wow.
not being out in the street, you know, doing what, who knows what, but it's how
mm-hmm.
much you know, how much you'll be able to, how you can handle your problems, how you can, you know, advance yourself in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what Superbad was about. And I wrote that, and I wrote another song called Keep Believing, which is on the same lines, you know, because I try
mm-hmm.
to put important messages sometimes in songs, you know, and it has a good groove to it. You know, it might be funky
okay.
or something, but you know, it's got Keep Believing has a really nice message in there that, you know, nobody's in your way, you know. Keep
mm-hmm.
keep achieving, you know.
Ooh.
That's what I would tell young people, man. You know, don't give up. Never quit, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's important to have that kind of drive, you know.
That's a great word for today, man. Keep believing. You can achieve. You can. What Scripture tells us, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now, if you're not a Christian, I understand that might be over your head. I mean, he did say he takes the foolish things to confound the wise. Amen. You know, and
right.
A lot of people don't want. They want to go to church, but they don't necessarily want to go to Christ. I've always kind of laughed at a lot of the entertainers on a lot of the award shows, and they come out and say, I want to first of all thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, you know, when you say that, you know, there's something to uphold from that I think some of these folks are missing, you know. And you know, first thing people say, well, don't judge me. And anybody, no, I got to tell you, there's a truck in the road, and you need to get out of the road with that one, because that truck's going to run you down, you know.
Right.
And we're called to be watchmen, watchmen on the wall, to sound the alarm. And sadly, I can say this as a pastor, the church has been negligent in really sounding the alarm that God has said. God has told us to sound. And so, you know, trying to pulling it back in, getting back to the basics is what we need to do. And I'm so glad for you, like those songs you just said, you know. And I know probably some people say, oh, man, talk about the old days. Talk about, well, we don't have to glorify the old days anymore. We're in a new dispensation, amen?
We all should be growing, you know.
Yeah, amen.
You know, spiritually,
I didn't know you were a doctor. That's a good one. I gotta tell Lonnie about that. Of course, you know your other friend, Lonnie Poindexter.
Yeah,
and
Lonnie,
me and Lonnie grew up together, and he's probably listening to the show. He's been instrumental helping me learn how to craft things and whatnot. So me and Lonnie go all the way back to our junior high days, actually.
That's cool.
He's a few years younger than me, but I know he wants to tell you hello. Told me to make sure he give you what's up, how you doing, and I thank God for that. You've been on his show many times. I got one more real good question here, and then I got to figure out what else I'm going to ask you. I'm going to just let you talk. What legacy are you creating and leaving as a guide or a path for others today? Where are you at with that?
Well, like what I alluded to before, about being an example, I believe you can be successful and, you know, still maintain a good moral center, you know, be close to God, be a Christian, you know. And musically, I just want to try to maintain a certain degree of, you know, excellence when it comes to music. And, you know, that my music means something, you know, rather than just, okay, I like that tune, or, you know, I like my messages to be messages that people can hold on to, you know, and maybe mean something in their life, you know. And also, you know, even more important, you know, a good father and a good husband too.
There you go.
That's something that I want people to remember, because that's what, you know, I'm always with my family, you know.
Right.
My wife and I, we're always together, you know, everywhere we go. My kids, I'm always here. I've always been around for them, you know. And I think that's important, you know. That's important for our society to understand that, you know, good things start, you know, good behavior and good communication and all that starts at home, you know. And it's good. I want to, you know, like give the best start I can, you know. And I've done that with my kids. My kids are like grown now, you know. But I've always been with them, though. And I think that's an important thing that people understand.
Wow. Chris, what is your wife's name? I know as a husband, sometimes, you know, we need to make sure we let everybody know. Tell us her name.
Oh, Margie. Yeah, Margie. Yeah. I even wrote a song about Margie. I have a song on one of my albums called Margie. right there next to me, and she does a lot of the work for the label, and you know, everything I do, she's involved in. So, you know, I think that's how it should be, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that Proverbs 31 woman, hey man, you're right, I got you. And I know I've seen you with her, of course, at the summit and different places, and our activism, as we call it that. Basically, it's just us doing what God told us to do. Everybody, mm-hmm. I'm not tell people I'm not an activist. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you wanna call me an activist, that's on you. I know I'm gonna do what God said do. But Chris, I've seen you, your wife now. How many kids? You had four kids, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Three boys in the family now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, they're men now. They're men.
Yeah. And what about, now you got, so you got one daughter, I guess, right?
No.
Three boys.
Yeah, no girls.
Okay. How many grand? You got some grands then, I guess, aren't they grown? You got any grands?
One grand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a blessing. Yeah, and I know, is that a little girl or a little boy? Another little boy?
It's a boy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know he's right 11. He's way past right 10. One boy, two or three uncles, and a granddaddy, and a grandmama. He got everything, but I know he's getting values. I know you're giving him good values. I know
mm-hmm.
that you've learned to do that. Man, I'm telling you, I'm. This is. It's kind of surreal, you know, when I look at what this show at this stage of my life, when the producers asked me to do this show. You know, I haven't been in radio a long time ago. Been to DJ a long time ago and sang in gospel choirs. It became a perfect fit for me. I have the time of my life interviewing men, as we say, we go. And now, as we get ready to wrap it up, our topic for the season is raising boys to men. And, mm-hmm. and in every way we can, that's why, you know, I get men that can leave that lasting impression. And of course, the shows are archived. You know, you can, some of the things, you know, we don't remember everything we said all the time, but I know the Holy Spirit has me saying things, and I'd be so glad I have it on tape or recorded that I can go mm-hmm. back and listen. Man, did I say that? That was the Lord. No credit for nothing. Just let the Lord have his way as he's done on this show. Chris, I can't think. I know I'll be seeing you again soon. Where are y'all living at now? You still in the Cincinnati area?
No, no, I'm in New York now. I live in
New York.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well.
I was raised in Cincinnati, but you know, when I was talking about Juilliard before, that's when I first came to New York. You know, and I was like 17. I came to New York for good. You know.
Okay. Amen. I'll be in your neighborhood this weekend. I'm flying. I'll be with Pastor Clenard. You know, we've got the Say So March up in Newark, and then over to Philadelphia to Pastor Herb. You know, my brother Pastor Herb Luss. He's my. We
mm-hmm.
grew up together, and Pastor
mm-hmm.
Herb. I'll be speaking there at 9 a.m. and Pastor Clenard speaks at 11. And we march down to City Hall, and then we leave and go to Maryland to Glen Arden First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. Pastor Jenkins, a big, huge ministry. And then we, on Monday morning, will be at the Smithsonian for a press conference and then down to the African American Museum. I don't know what your schedule is, but if you can break free any of that, we'd certainly be glad to see you as we,
mm-hmm.
we're moving up. And so I know your heart, so that's the best thing about it. We are – go ahead.
No, I didn't know you were finished talking.
Yeah, anything else you want to bless us with, go ahead. I'm going to give you – we got about, 13 more minutes here. So what do you want to talk about? What else you want to share with us, you know, as your life, whatever, your future, what it holds, what are your plans?
Well, right now, as I said earlier, I'm working on new music, you know, which is like – basically always the case. I'm working on some new music for another album now. My son's working on some material, Michael. He helps me do, you know, some of the rhythm tracks for my songs now on my albums. So he's working on some music of his own. And so, you know, we've got some projects that we want to put out, you know, this year, you know, musically. We also have us working on a script that my son has recently completed for a film. And we've done music for that, you know. So, you know, we're just trying to find the right place to, you know, to get the production of this film going. You know, shop it around and try to get, you know, one of the major studios involved in it. And that's something else we're working on. So on the business front, we're kind of busy, you know, doing new things. Creating new music and new film, new music for score, new script, and so those things are in the works.
Are you looking for I guess, you know, as in the A&R aspect of it, or any new talent, or y'all just focusing on what you got in your hand, or what? Like Shamgar, Bible says he used what he had in his hand for the moment.
Yep. I mean, I don't think it's wise to juggle too much at one time. But you know, if I ran across something that some material that I thought was really, really, you know, special, you know, I'd work with, you know, other artists. I've done that in the past. I've signed other artists to my label in the past. So, but right now I don't have that, you know, another artist in mind yet. But I wouldn't rule it out. But you know, I just hope that, you know, we can get, you know, his script going, because that's something he'd been working on for a while. And it's really, really, really good script for a movie.
Okay, good. Listen, I got a thing. I don't know if anybody's on that wants to just called in or anything, but I got a little note here from the producer, and if anybody's on the line that wants to pop in, send them to me there, Ms. Producer, and they might have a question for Chris if you're out there and you want to ask him something. I don't know who's there. This is the part of the thing that I'm still dealing with here. I'm trying to take that responsibility because I'm not home. So there's a pretty peacock walking by me. Hey, man, beautiful birds.
Hi, yes. There is a caller on the line, and we know this is the men at the well, but some of us would like to know, what does Chris Jasper impart into his sons from a mentoring standpoint? As we know, our producers know that his son also has his degree in law. So we want him to expound upon that partnership and that educational base that he has with his son as you go out. Mentor our men.
I really feel it's important to know the rules of the game, so to speak, and that's what I find most challenging for a lot of young people, is they want to succeed, but they don't know, you know, the rules of the game. The ins and outs of finance, the ins and outs of what's legal, what's not legal. You know, certain things about business, you know, all those things sometimes are gray areas for people. And I wanted Michael and actually all my sons, but Michael is the only one of my sons that went to law school. But I wanted him to know the ins and outs, you know, the nuts and bolts of the law, because, you know, the country is a nation of laws. It really is, when you break it down, you know what I mean? So I want him to understand that, because people who may not know, you don't have to be a lawyer, but you have to know what's possible and what's not possible. You know what I mean? And, you know, rational thinking, reason. You know, there used to be a course in school that I took a long time ago. It was called logic. You know, and they usually say, given this information, what's the logical conclusion? you know, and things like that, being able to interpret information, things you hear, knowing what's a wise investment, you know, what isn't, you know, all those little things that, you know, if you're a property owner, what are your rights? You know what I mean? Things like that. Is it better to rent or is it better to, you know, to lease? Is it better to buy? You know, all those things, a lot of those things you do learn in law school. So, you know, my wife's a lawyer. She went to law school. You know, I went back to law school. And I wanted him to learn, and he has learned, you know, those things. Those you know, it's I equate it to, like, you know, if a person wanted to play football, never played the game before, right? But they went out on the field with professional guys who've done it all their lives. They get run off the field.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you don't know the rules of the game in business, how are you going to be able to compete?
Man.
You see, I mean, it's the same thing. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. There's things that people know, there's rules and there's tactics and there's things that people know out there that, you know, you'll be at a severe disadvantage if you don't know. And that's why a lot of artists get into situations where they're terribly disadvantaged from the very beginning, and they won't, and a lot of times they won't consult legal help, and and they just, you know, they just get buried, you know, and because they have no idea of what the contract says or what they're alluding to when they, you know, have certain phrases in contracts, you know, it's like it's like going out in the field with the, you know, with the Patriots, and you know you have no equipment on. You know, you have to know the rules of the game, you know, to be competitive. And I said, you know, Mike, even if you don't practice law, you know, I want you to learn these things, you know, because, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, legal things, but a lot of things are started legally, you know. Even, you know, Brown versus Board of Education.
Correct.
That was a legal battle first,
right?
You know, which set the table for everything that came afterward. You know what I mean? So that's how the country is. The country is you know, laws that keep the country together. So I thought, you know, law school would be a good place for him to understand and to do, you know, to learn those rules. And like I said, even if you don't go, you should study. People should understand there is great value in knowledge, you know, because I knew a lot before I got my degree, and when, how I knew what I knew is because I went to college. I took four years in college before, but then I would study. I would read every financial thing I could get, every financial book I could put my hands on. I was reading it, you know, and studying, reading, and real estate books and all kinds of stuff, stock market books. You know, I still have them all down, you know, in my library downstairs. You know, I was always a student. And that's how you can become competitive out here and be marketable, you know, because of what you know. And a lot of people say, well, it's who you know. Okay, well, it might be a little bit of that too. But if you don't know anything, you're not going to be of value to a person, even if you know them. You know what I mean? You must have value. You must be marketable.
Yeah, there are two scriptures that come to mind. One, he says, "Study to show thyself approved."
There you
go. And, you know, so that's what he said right there. And then he said he would give you favor with God and man. So,
yes.
You know, that's the who you know. And the what you know. So you gotta, you're right. They're both applicable in this thing that we call life. And to God be the glory, man. Now, what are you two other boys doing as we get ready to get out of here? What do they do?
Well, they're also my one son is a graphic artist, and my other son is serving in the Army.
Oh, praise God! Well, we thank God for his service. Is he stateside or is he overseas?
He's stateside. Yeah, he's stateside over here.
Yeah. You know, I noticed that because I'm a military brat. You know, I know I know the language. I know that language. Praise God.
Yeah.
Chris, give me your one parting comment before we take off here. Your last word of godly wisdom as we raise these men, these boys to men.
Okay, I'll say something like the scripture says: never be ashamed of God and your relationship with God. You know, a lot of people are. You know, I wrote songs about that. Stand up, and there's other songs on my gospel albums. That's the measure of a man. If you can stand up and say what you believe, you know, and I'm never ashamed of the gospel. I'm never ashamed of Jesus Christ. And and I do believe, you know, that I'm his messenger in a way, and one of them, because there's many of them. But I have to maintain the truth when I speak. That's right. One thing that I've always committed myself to. And so I think that's an important thing. I believe a measure of a person is how close they are to God, you know, how much they obey God, you know, like Abraham and some of the other patriarchs. Those were real, real men, you know, those who are committed to their responsibilities and to their families, you know, who you can trust, who are trustworthy, you know. I can't speak enough about that, you know. But, you know, those qualities that are mentioned, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, try to have those, you know, and develop them, you know. Because we all, you know, we're all, you know, fell short, but we all will strive toward the mark, as Paul said, to that high calling. We've got to keep trying. We've got to keep trying and enduring to the end. So the Christian journey is not easy, but it's one that we have chosen, and you know God has chosen us too. So you know, just praise God, you know, and be thankful for your blessings.
Well, listen, I can certainly echo those things and thank God for you, Chris. I look forward to seeing you again soon, and we thank you for your time and your talent and your words of wisdom to the audience at the Men at the Well. We love you, man, and we're praying for more success and blessings. When you going to doing any shows in California soon? What are you doing?
Probably the soonest would be, you know, maybe next year sometime, because I want to wrap up some of these projects, you know, these studio projects first. But maybe sometime next year. But I'll definitely be letting people know and, you know, posting things, you know, about where I'm going to perform.
Let me know when you're close to the Central Valley, and maybe we can book something. You know, I got some people asking me to do some shows. I had Yolanda Adams a few years ago. I put my hand to the plow on that. So, and I'd be glad to bring you in at Martha Manunzi, Vicky Winans. So, I've got my feet wet, my beak wet, as they say. So, I'd love to bring you here to Central Cali, and the Big Valley. That's what I call it. And maybe talking about putting a gospel fest together. And so I'm looking to do those kind of things, you know. So, but look, Chris, thank you. Love to the wife. Love to the kids. Thank you for your insight. It's been another stellar show. I thank God for Tribe Family Channel and Blog Talk Radio that helped make this show possible. Those of you and anybody that wants to make a donation to keep our show going and on the air, feel free to go to one of our websites here, you know, what's the one I want to go to? Blog Talk Radio. You can go there or Tribe Family Channel and check it out and see all those kind of things at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Okay. And if you want to make a donation for our show, we'll be glad to do that. And to keep us on the air, we are a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. We had Chris Jasper on the show today, and I pray you're going to be blessed. We play another one of his songs on the way out. See you. God bless.
Oh, yeah. in your heart and peace of mind. Here's to the good life and family, living every day in harmony. Believe me when I say that it's true. That's what love can do. Make you smile. Believe me when I say that it's true. That's what love can do. Love can do, yeah, yeah. That's what love can do, yeah. I know it's gonna be alright. That's what love can do. Touch your heart.